If you're familiar with Luke chapter 2, and I know you are, this is really a story about the shepherds, I think most of you know. And I really like this. I like this text. I preached out of it more than a couple of times probably. And so we're going to look at that, the arrival, obviously, of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And let's take just a moment to pray. Father, we just bless you. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies that were given today. Lord, for the saw that, you know, that Gary got. And we thank you, Lord, for the healing that's happening in Mary Jo's body. And we thank you for Ken and Deanie, Lord, for just the opportunity to share their faith. And God, I'm grateful, and Katya and I both are, Lord, just for the financial blessing that you've provided. So, Lord, thank you for your goodness. You are great and awesome, and I bless you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. It says, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased.' When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them." That's just a powerful experience, isn't it? And I love those guys, those shepherds, because they're, you know, they're just everyday people. And you know, some people have said, well, shepherds were really despised. But, you know, in this time frame, they were not. They were just seen as hardworking people. And for God to do what he did for them is just amazing. The arrival of the Messiah, Christ the Lord, being born here, and to have that happen, I mean, must have been an awesome experience. And as we have read through these texts in the various scriptures that talk about the angels appearing and all that God did, I mean, if we can try to put ourselves in the place of being those people, you know, of being the shepherds or being Joseph and Mary, you know, and you just think about what would it be like to all of a sudden have an angel appearing over you. It says they were terrified. It's interesting because, you know, we've had two ladies here. One is Mary Sue Williams, and the other is Sean Demers, that within the past year and a half believe that they have seen an angel, both of them. And I can't imagine what that would be like, but they did. And so, you know, and I believe them, but it's amazing to think about the miracles and the power of God moving in this way. This morning, I want to try to highlight some things from this passage of Scripture about the arrival of the baby Jesus. And obviously, it's easy for us to get caught up into the story and to think about a lot of different things. But remember that it was Jesus Christ who grew up, the Son of God, the Son of Man, to live a life without sin. And that he laid down his life, that his body was broken and he shed his blood, that we might have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't want us to forget that. I don't want us to, in my own life, I have to confess to you that sometimes I take that for granted. But it's in coming back and looking at the scripture and being in God's presence together that I realize there's nothing. It's like what I prayed a while ago. God, there's nothing that I've done to deserve the love that you have shown for me. Nothing. So this morning, I want to talk about what this did, not only for them, but for us. And so, do you realize that when we read this, and though we may feel somewhat disconnected from it, what Christ did, the arrival of the Messiah, what God has done for us, is still active and alive today. It's why Ken and Deanie go to an Indian restaurant, and they share what God has done. Thank you for doing that. It just says, hey, it's not, I mean, and I know they're probably, I'm not going to say how old y'all are, but you've been serving God a long time. But you see, the power of what Christ has done is still alive in them. Will it be alive in you when you're 70 years old to be able to share your faith? Man, it's great to have people that have gone before us that are encouraging us. Hey, God's moving out there. I'm grateful for this Christmas time that we celebrate. I realize that there are a lot of things that people get caught up into. I think Kata was talking about that she read something or saw something that in America, right, that there are now less people that are celebrating Christmas for a religious reason. And I was driving, I came up to the church last night for just a little bit. I was driving through our subdivision and I looked around and, you know, I mean, there's a lot of houses that are decorated, but there are a lot more that are not. Now you say that doesn't necessarily determine that they're Christians or that they're celebrating Christmas or not celebrating Christmas. But do you understand we are moving away and we have been moving away from the power and from the truth of what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. So let's look at our text this morning. Let's talk about some of the things that are still alive for us today, church. They are still alive for us today. I want to talk about how the arrival really affected them and it affects us. And the first thing that I want to say to you about the arrival is that it demonstrates how all creation is intended to give praise to God. Do you believe that? All creation is intended to give praise to God. I mean, this is the third appearance of the angel. And it's interesting because, and I've talked about this before, but when the angel comes, people are terrified, aren't they? They're afraid. And so you have that comment where the angel says, you know, don't be afraid. Well, you know, we know that we can only imagine what that might be like. But the angel said, don't be afraid because I bring you good news. Bring you good news. Someone said that humanity has nothing to fear when God moves in his grace. What God has done for us is he's moved in his grace. This story that we've read many times is a demonstration. This morning, when you came here to worship the Lord, it's not just about you. It's not just about me. Do you understand that when we come to praise God, it's we are connected to all of creation. And you see this in this text. You see the story of the shepherds who were, you know, the average hardworking guy. I mean, maybe a guy like Gary. Don't be offended because I'm comparing you to a shepherd. But, you know, they had tools and things with they worked with. And so you have these, you know, normal Joes, the average guys that are out there, and then all of a sudden you have an angelic host that is singing and giving praise to God. When we come to worship God, we are connected to the Holy Spirit. We are connected to other believers that are not even in this building. You understand the opportunity that we have. So, you know, the average Christian comes in many times to a church. And they come in, and they may have areas where they've been displeasing to God, or they've been disobedient. In other words, that their sin may be in their life and that's unconfessed. And they come in and they spent very little time in prayer or really even seeking God's presence. And they come many times as a spectator. And then they wonder why they don't experience anything when they're there. Does that sound familiar? I mean, when we come, you know, I mean, if I come to worship and I come late and I'm not prepared, I have nothing to bring, you know, I'm not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, then why should I expect that I wouldn't experience anything in worship? And you know what? That's the way that many Christians are living today. And so I want to encourage us about worship and praise. Listen, you're connected to something that's bigger than yourself. I mean, that's what worship is about, right? It's about lifting up the name of God and giving Him praise. Listen, I think God needs to help us to see praise and worship in a different light, because I think it's easy for us to fall into the trap of expecting, okay, God, you know, where are you going to show up? You know, what are you going to do today in church? But yet we come in and we haven't prepared ourselves to actually receive and to be a part of what we're connected to. As a church, I'm challenging us. I'm challenging myself. Hey, let's don't come in the same old way. I mean, imagine this. If I come in and, you know, I come home and I look at Kata and I just kind of, I go to the bedroom. You know, I don't greet her. You know, I'm not looking forward to actually see her. I mean, I make her feel like, you know, I'm just there. You know, I'm just there doing some time, you know. Or I've had, you know, and sometimes you do have a hard day. But I think too many times the church is falling into that trap. And listen, we're connected to something that's great. We have the opportunity to be in God's presence together. I mean, did you not sense the presence of God this morning? I'm grateful. I don't know how God thought up worship and praise. But listen, there's something about being in the presence of God, I mean, and especially being together, that God does in us. God works on you. And sometimes you don't even know it. It's like, you know, it's almost like being in surgery and you're, you know, and God's working in there. Listen, worship is so important for us. We're connected to all of creation. And God's purpose is that the angels would give praise to Him. And they do. God intends that the shepherds, the everyday guy, the guy like Gary that works with tools, would give Him praise. The housewife would come in and give Him praise. That young people would come, give Him praise. He deserves our praise. Secondly, the arrival reminds us that God's favor rests on those people that love, respect, and serve Him. Look at verse 14. This is what they said: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men whom He is pleased." That's talking about God's favor. It's talking about God's favor. This passage of Scripture reminds us something, that God is involved with all kinds of people. Isn't that right? I mean, God is not only involved with us that live here in, what was it that Lon used to call it, Copperfield, Texas? He's not only involved with white people. He's involved with black people, Hispanics, male, female, young people, people that are older. Isn't that right? And what they're saying is that God's favor rests on those really that love God and they respect Him and they serve Him. And why do you do that? You do that because you have a personal relationship with the one who arose, who came during this time. We saw how God was because Jesus showed us that. And so, you know, we sing that song. It's a great song. that Israel Houghton sings. I am a friend of God. Isn't that right? I mean, we enjoy singing that song. But the other side to that, there's another song that we sing, and that is, you know, I stand in awe of God's presence. And see, there's a healthy respect that we need for the Lord that the church has lost. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, yes, I am a friend of God, and we need that aspect, but he's also the Lord, and I need to respect him. I need to have a healthy fear of him. A healthy fear of God is something that helps. There's a balance in all that. And a lot of the church today wants to talk about being a friend. That it's almost like God is, you know, our peer. God is not our peer. He's not our peer. I mean, he is our friend, and we are a friend to him, but we've got to respect him. I mean, this has been debated for years about, you know, what motivates Christians to serve God, love or fear of God. And the truth is, church, we need them both. And it's out of love and it's out of respect that we serve God. I mean, these people that come, like the worship team, every one of them, you know, why are they here? They're not, you know, I mean, outside of Brian, none of them get paid. They're here because they love the Lord. They fear the Lord. They want to lead us. I'm grateful for that. And thank you guys for being so color coordinated. I mean, you guys look great today. And the reason that we ought to have fear and respect, because do you understand what that scripture is saying in verse 14? That while God is involved with all types of people, not everybody experiences the favor of the Lord. I mean, let me say this to you. The scripture clearly says that God, it's God's desire that no man would perish, right? But they do. You believe that? I do not believe that every man, woman, and young person experiences eternal salvation. That's a challenging thought. And that's why it's so important that all of us do what Ken and Deanie are doing, and that is that we share our faith. Because there are those people that are out there that are looking for the Ken and Deanies, or they're looking, you know, they're looking for the Wests and Judies. They're looking for you. You who has a personal relationship with the Lord to come and to serve him by sharing your story with them. Another aspect of the arrival of the Messiah is this, that it prepares us to speak with others how Jesus has impacted our lives. Look at verse 17 and 18. Talking about the shepherds, I'll give you a second to turn back over there. It says this, it says, when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Has God impacted your life? Has he? Do you know that God expects for you to tell others that he'll give you the opportunity to about how Jesus Christ has impacted your life? See, what's happened in the church is that we've hired people to do what we're supposed to do. So I want to challenge us as a church going into 2012. I want to challenge each one of you to pray about a relationship or friendship, or could be your mechanic, to somehow build a relationship with them for the purpose of someday being able to share your faith. I'm not saying that you have to go preach to them or give them a track or tell them, you know, that they need God, but you understand what I'm saying? All of us need to begin to look at the places where the presence of God is. That's what this story is about. Because too many of us come to the church and we expect the staff to do it. And you know what? A lot of churches have done that. They hire big staffs. They hire pastors to do the work that the church is supposed to be doing. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. And you know what? Those people, there are more of those people that are out there that are coming here. Isn't that right? I mean, is it your barber? You know, is it the Asian lady that does your nails? I mean, you don't have to try to. I know you're laughing, Judy, but I mean, how many ladies get their nails done? Wow, you husbands need to, you know, spend a little money, don't you? Uh-oh, I just got myself in trouble on that one, didn't I? I mean, our young people, how about your friends? I mean, you know what's happening, you know, with teenagers and the stuff. I mean, the families are so broken up. Man, there are people that are waiting for us. And you know, I mean, if God has really impacted your life, I mean, if the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was with the Father before he, you know, was born here as a child, and he's back with the Father now. I mean, if he has impacted your life, then we need to be talking to people and praying for people and looking for opportunities to serve. The presence of God is out there. Because in this story, I mean, Jesus is born in a stable or a cave. And the presence of God, here's the King, the mighty King, the Lord Jesus. And he's born in such, you know, humble circumstances. I mean, he's probably lying in an animal trough. The presence of God is there. And we want the presence of God, you know, we want to have it all happen in here. And so, like, we come here and we say, you know, oh, God, would you move? Would you do some miraculous thing? And God is saying, I want you to move out there and do, you know, I'm going to do the miraculous through you out there. So, Pastor, why are you preaching this on Christmas? We're supposed to have neat, nice Christmas messages. You know, the question that the Holy Spirit is asking me, Dennis, has your life been impacted? Are you just a pastor that gets paid to serve? There are relationships that I have that I'm praying for and I'm talking to. But I know that God's presence works out there. It works in here too. As we go into 2012, Christ Covenant Church, you're going to hear me talk more about this. Because, you know, I mean, God has blessed us. I enjoy our worship. This church has a lot of teachers in it, a lot of men and women that teach. There's a lot of good edification that could go on through the various ministries and people that work with our youth and with our children. I mean, we have things that are going out like Church Under the Bridge that we're, and on our involvement with Mission Sci Fair, where we have both some evangelism and the meeting of social needs. But do you understand that one area where we are lacking is in the area of evangelism? And I don't say that to criticize us or even to criticize myself, because I'm surrounded a lot of times by Christians and we seem like we're working through difficult things and maintenance and all that, and that's part of what a pastor does. But listen, there is a call on this church to share our faith. And it's not just something special. It's a matter of obedience. And so I want to challenge you and challenge myself that this would become a church where we would take time to go over and maybe just do something for a neighbor. I mean, how many relationships do we have where we can do something to help build the kingdom? That's what I'm saying to us. That's an aspect of scriptural ministry that we're lacking in. The last thing that I want to say to you out of here about the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ is this, that it prompts us to reflect on our relationship with God as he reshapes our hearts. Look at verse 19. It says, "But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart." What God has done for us through Jesus Christ is so active and powerful that it hasn't changed. And so what happens is that there is a need for us to stop and to reflect. And you know, when we do that, the power of the Spirit and the truth of God's Word work in conjunction to help reshape our hearts. The church in America and the body of Christ, but especially here, and I'm going to say it here because I know more about the American church, there's a real need for this. There's a need for us to allow God's Word and the Holy Spirit to really come in and to reflect on where we're at. And to allow God to reshape us. If I come in here and I've got unconfessed sin, and I'm mad at my wife, and I haven't prayed, and I haven't been seeking the Lord, then I need to stop and reflect and allow God to reshape me, don't I? I mean, I talk to a lot of pastors, just the last few weeks. And even in leaders, it's like cracks in the dam. You understand what I'm saying? The joy of the Lord's salvation needs to return to us. Ephesians teaches us that the power of the Holy Spirit helps us with God's Word to clearly make choices, that the power of the Holy Spirit motivates us to choose the things that God would have us to choose. So this month, I want to encourage you to pray. Pray and ask the Lord, what is it in your life or your heart that may need to change? Listen, there are couples that are struggling in this church. There are parent and child relationships they're struggling. There are places where we have gotten away from the truth of God's Word. And God is calling us back. I believe that. He's calling me back. In other words, it's so you understand what I'm saying? I mean, we go along and we live our lives and we serve God and we minister and we do things. But listen, church, at the end of the day, my relationship with the Lord and being right with the Lord and living a life and trying to be a godly man by the help of the Holy Spirit and by the truth of God's Word is what God has called me to be. Do you understand? That's the number one thing. Being a husband and being a pastor and being a father. If that's out of line, then everything else that I am and I try to do will be as well. And I don't say this to criticize us. I mean, you're hearing me. God help me. God help me to be the kind of man that you want me to be, that the Scripture says I am to be. I'm a pastor. I'm an elder. I'm a husband. I'm a father. And I'm like Isaiah. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a man that has things that God needs to still reshape in me. And you know what? You do too. So I want to encourage you. Let's go into 2012 praying and seeking the Lord. There are opportunities to pray. This church is not praying. We're not. There are a lot of churches that are not praying. We need to be praying. If we want to become, if we want to see the power of God, then we need to be praying. We need to be allowing God to reshape us and to help us, including your pastor, including your worship leader, including those that work with youth, including the elders, including those that work with the children, the youth, the school teacher and the engineer, the policeman. And you know what? God is faithful. When we seek him, we say, Lord, I'm opening myself up to you. Would you show me? Because you know what? Sometimes we miss the mark and we don't even know. And you know what? There are people, again, I'm going to say it again. I've said it before. There are people that are out there that are waiting for us. They need us. But they don't need us being disobedient to God, angry, judgmental, caught up in things. They need us to be walking along in the freedom of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's Word. That's what they're waiting for. And there are those that are out there that there's a destiny that God has called. Ephesians talks about that God has prepared things ahead of time. Christ Covenant Church, God has prepared people and situations for you to be in. And you know what? If we go out there and do what God has called us to do, and we give ourselves, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to miss God. We're going to sin sometimes. Let me tell you something. When that begins to happen and you're out there and you come back here for meetings together to worship, there'll be a different kind of atmosphere in here. Would you just bow your head with me?